Ben. Thanks a lot for having me. Yeah, so what I'm going to talk about today is a solution to the strong CP problem that's kind of in the same vein as the massless upquark solution, which is a great solution to strong CP problem that doesn't work. So you can look at this as a way of kind of saving that spirit of solution. And this is based on work that's in progress, almost done, with Pratik Agarwal, a postdoc at Harvard. OK, so let me just start by defining the problem we want to solve. So this is how I'll think about the strong CP problem for this talk. Right, there's two potential CP violating parameters in the standard model. There's the theta angle, which is a combination of this topological term, the theta GG dual term, and the argument of the determinant of the Yukawa matrices. Right, so this is it's really the combination of these two things, right, a chiral rotation of the quark fields can rotate a phase out of the determinant of the Yukawa matrices, but then this is an anomalous symmetry, so it gets rotated into this theta term. And this is kind of a non-perturbative CP violating phase in that this is really only a physical phase when G is finite, when the gauge coupling of this GG dual term is finite. So it's only so effects that go like E to the negative 1 over G squared that are sensitive to this term. And then there's the other perturbative CP phase, which is just in the CKM matrix, there's one physical CKM angle, right, the CKM phase. And the interesting puzzle about the standard model is there's these two CP phases. They both look like they're intimately related to the Yukawa matrices, to whatever generates the quark flavor. Yet the CKM phase is order one, and the strong CP phase, this theta bar, is based on neutron EDM experiments, smaller than 10 to the negative 10. So this is the strong CP problem, is why is one of these phases order one and one of these phases very small? OK, but within the standard model, there's also kind of almost the seeds of a solution to this problem, because even though these are both look like they're very intimately related to Yukawa matrices, there is a sense in which these two phases are sequestered from each other in the standard model, which is if I just at any scale, set theta equals zero and have the CKM phase, then radiatively in the standard model, if I look at high energy effects, the CKM angle only feeds into the regenerating a theta term at seven loops, right? So the effects, once I set theta equals zero at any scale in the standard model, the other effects that regenerate it are very small. So there's kind of a seasonal solution. So really, these two phases are sequestered from each other in the standard model. And yeah, kind of one useful way to think about this for this talk will be that right, in the standard model, there's a large degree of flavor symmetry. Right? The Yukawas break the flavor symmetry, but there are lots of small numbers in the Yukawas. Right? So there are small mixing angles and small diagonal entries, so small mass eigenvalues for Yukawa couplings. And if I restore the flavor symmetries, then there isn't a physical CP phase. So kind of the physical effects, the way this can feed in, depends on all these small breakings of flavor symmetries. So that's is that approximate flavor symmetry that protects you from feeding radiatively the CKM phase back into the theta angle. So that's why these loop effects are small in the standard model. So that's a great thing about the standard model, and it lets you have an interesting class of solutions to a strong CP problem. And it's also something when you extend the standard model to solve the strong CP problem, it's useful to preserve that feature that there's some approximate sequestering due to the flavor symmetries of the CKM angle and the theta angle. So that will be important for the solutions we'll write down. OK, so one great potential solution to the strong CP problem was the massless upquark solution. So let me just talk about this, and let me just look at two flavor QCD. So I just have the upquark and downquark mass below the scale of Higgsing, so it's just a bare mass, and my GG dual term, right? And this invariant CP phase here is theta bar is just a rotation, right? I can rotate the argument of m up and m down into theta. Okay, and you can just observe that if the upquark is massless in this theory, so if mu is equal to zero, then I can make a chiral rotation of u and d, so I can make a chiral rotation of d to remove the phase here. That will put some theta into this GG dual term, but I can just remove whatever that value is by rotating the up mass, and if this term is zero, then it doesn't reappear anywhere in the Lagrangian. Right? So this is just a way to see that In the limit m up equals zero, CP is a accidental symmetry of this theory, right? There's no, yeah, whatever, CP is just a good symmetry I can define, right? So there is no theta angle that's really breaking a CP. Okay, so this happens for m up equals zero. So why doesn't this work in a standard model? Well, if you look at, so if you look at the leading order chiral Lagrangian, we know that m up is not equal to zero in the standard model, so m up is about half of m down and both are non-zero. If you look just at the chiral Lagrangian, so you might, but that's been known for a long time and this solution was actually alive for a while. The reason is that when I say m up is equal to zero, there's actually a little bit of an ambiguity, right? Because there is a symmetry that's restored when m up equals zero, it's this PQ symmetry where I can rotate, but it's an anomalous symmetry, right? So yeah, the fact that it's anomalous is what lets me rotate away the theta angle. But I also know it's broken by the non-perturbative effects. So if I say set m up equals zero, I really mean set m up equals zero at some scale, right? So there is this ambiguity that even if I set m up equals zero around the QCD scale, non-perturbative effects generate m up not equals zero once I integrate them out. The statement that, so is, you know, you could imagine that it's possible that m up is equal to zero near the QCD scale, and then it's all these non-perturbative effects in QCD that match you to the chiral Lagrangian. This turns out not to be the case, but it's, I want to just describe that in a little bit more detail because that will kind of be the motivation for how we will fix this up. So these effects are present in QCD, but they just turn out not to be large enough. There's actually a nice recent paper by Michael Dine and Patrick Draper that has kind of a nice discussion of all this that I'll follow a little bit. A good way, there are a few different ways to think about this calculation, but a nice intuitive way is to just think about describing all the non-perturbative PQ violating effects starting from the dilute instanton gas approximation, right? So the instanton is a Euclidean solution to the field equations. It's a non-perturbative effect with an action that's suppressed by e to negative 1 over g squared, or 8 pi squared over g squared. So a good way to describe the effects of these solutions is just to imagine integrating out all the instanton solutions and generating an effective action from integrating them out. So it's a whole family of solutions, actually. So I can have instantons of different sizes, and their action depends on their size. And I can just integrate out all my instantons between two sizes, so from row 0 to row 0. And what happens when I do this is I generate an effective interaction for the fermions in the theory, for the fermions charged under the gauge group that I have this instanton in. And what the instanton does is it just shoots out chirals, the chiral zero modes of all the elementary fermions charged under the gauge group, right? So in this two-flavor model, the instanton solution is just at scales below its size, it just looks like it shoots out an up conjugate, a down, and a down conjugate, right? So it breaks the chiral symmetry under which all the fermions are charged, this PQ symmetry. It breaks this PQ symmetry, so it generates this PQ charge. So this is a theory where I don't have any masses for the quarks. And once I add in masses, I can think of instantons interacting with the masses that the quarks have. So for example, I can think of this four fermion interaction and then looping off one of the down quarks with its mass if I have a non-zero m down, right? And so this looks like it's generating an up quark mass from an instanton and a down quark mass. Okay, so these are kind of the leading non-perturbative effect is described by these single instanton solutions. And there's, you can do the dilute instanton gas approximation to look at their effects at kind of weak or semi-perturbative coupling. So the effect we want to look at is what is the up quark mass I generate from a down quark mass? So this is just, I integrate over instantons of all the sizes. There's some coefficients and some overall dependence on the gauge coupling, but the important thing is kind of it's very suppressed at weak gauge coupling because of this exponential suppression. The down quark mass enters through this loop, right? And it enters as m down, and the theta angle also affects the action for the instanton. Okay, so what happens is if I start with m up equals zero, I know that I can make a rotation to set the physical theta angle to zero. But then if I look at some other scale where I've integrated out the instantons, I have m up not equal zero from this effect. So you can ask, how did this solution kind of change from one scale to other? And what happens is the value of m up that I generate has just the right phase that I can still rotate away the theta angle, right? Because it has this e to the I theta dependence, and it depends on the m down star, m down conjugate. So this physical theta bar is still vanishing at any scale I evaluate in this theory. If I started from m up equals zero and then integrate out instantons, I still have this theta bar vanishing. OK, so this is still a CP invariant theory. Yeah.
So is it really important to talk about ring tangent scale? Because it's a bit scary. You know, the ring tangent produces wrong answer.
Like in legend, it produces totally wrong answer about theta dependence of the scale.
So I do that if, yeah, if you really go into a confining phase, then instantons aren't the leading description of it.
Right.
I'm going to be focused on QCD, so we're not at large end, so maybe you're not so worried about. So we'll be talking about theories. So what I'll apply this to is actually theories that are Higgs'd. And when you Higgs it, then you have some better control over the instanton approximation, right? So then you have.
Can you see that this thing holds, like, or can you make some argument that this thing has hold without the instanton picture?
Physically, their PQ is violated by the non-perturbative effects in the theory. So yeah, you could just say, I know non-perturbative effects are order one in the theory, and I'll get order one effects from this. So I will be working in a theory where I am in the kind of semi-perturbative regime, and you can trust this more. So that's why I want to go through this picture. What you actually do in QCD is put this on the lattice, right? OK. So the point is, yeah, this statement of where do I set m up equals zero is a little bit ambiguous because I do generate this renormalization of m up.
Related question, in what sense that this is a solution? Because if I'm can't even define what does it mean to set m up equal to zero, then why it's not just moving the problem from one place to another?
Yeah, so good. So this is the same status as also the axion solution, right, is I assume I have, what does it mean to assume I have an anomalous PQ symmetry in my theory? So yeah, it's the statement that I generate terms of my Lagrangian that violate the PQ symmetry only when G is not equal to zero. But, I mean, this is the same problem with the axion, right, that I have a potential for my PQ breaking field that I assume the leading terms are, the perturbative terms all come or at least the ones that violate PQ are very suppressed, and it's the leading thing is this non-perturbative violation.
Yeah, probably in both cases, one would say that it's exact symmetry in the UV.
Yeah,
it's only broken by QCD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But then wouldn't you say that really a map equal to zero, the trivial condition is that you cover is equal to zero at the UV scale?
So it turns out in the stem, exactly. So the question is, if I want to tell if this solution works or not, what scale do I need to get the exact answer at? Good. Yeah, so I'll come to that in a second, yeah. So the point is, so kind of the characteristic number for how strong these effects are is the instanton density, right? So this is the thing that's suppressed by 1 over g squared in the exponential. And I can look at what this is as a function of the coupling of the theory. And what you see is that for alpha around 0.5, 0.6, starting to get to very strongly coupled theory, this is an order one effect. So this is why you might have thought that in QCD this could explain where the chiral Lagrangian is coming from, where the up mass in the chiral Lagrangian is coming from, is because this does look like an order one effect. So this is kind of, and in fact, once it becomes an order one effect, the dilute instanton gas approximation is not a good approximation anymore, and you really can only answer this question by putting it on the lattice. But what we can also see is that if I go to even 2 or 3 GeV, these effects are very suppressed. So at 2 or 3 GeV in the standard model, these effects are suppressed by a factor of 1 in 100 or 1,000. And at 100 GeV, they're suppressed by factors larger than 10 to the A of 10. So this is an effect that decouples very rapidly at weak coupling.
So is it not that the dilute gas approximation works well? Because I remember Jalang was studying like finite temperature potential for.
And there, it was surprisingly high temperature where the dilute gas had anything to do with reality.
I think that disagreement is still up in the air of the, this high temperature disagreement, yeah, is, I think is not resolved yet, was my impression.
I don't remember it being disagreement, but just the surprise was that it's a surprisingly high temperature that Lagrange approximation started to make sense. But is it known how, because, well, temperature and energy is a little bit related, but not quite the same. So is it known in terms of energy?
As far as I know, this disagreement hasn't been resolved. But it was, so the two lattice things disagreed in different ways from the dilute gas, was my recollection. So it's not clear what to, I don't know the answer to if it's been resolved or not. Yeah.
But does that mean we should trust? Does that bear on whether we should trust?
So I'm presenting instanton results only as a heuristic thing because we don't have a better handle analytically on these things. But I do agree, you get the right answers when you do the lattice calculation correctly. But I think this tells you roughly, so this plot is when do these things become important. I think at 100 GeV, you can trust, if I Higgs QCD at 100 GeV, I can trust this instanton calculation. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be able to. If I Higgs it at 2 GeV, obviously is a little bit more questionable. Okay. Right, so, so this is a sense in which you can ask the question of how does this protect me? So what? How did this solve the strong CP problem, right? And the whole point is that if really these PQ non-perturbative PQ violating effects are the thing that's the dominant source of the PQ violation in the theory, then I am protected in the way I want to be, which is that, it's good to take a counterexample of when things might get messed up, right? So you might imagine I have some high scale, some arbitrary CP violations. So I don't want to make assumptions about having CP or not in my high energy theory. So let's just say I have some arbitrary large new sources of CP violation coupled to the standard model at some UV scale. Right, and then the question is kind of how well am I protected against that feeding into the low energy theta angle? And so I can look at this, and if I evaluate this non-perturbative contribution to up mass, well, I have to integrate over instantons at all scales. So there's this contribution I want at low energies. And then there's also this contribution at high energies where I have this new scale where CP violation is entering. And if I just look at how these entries add in, what can happen up here is really the relevant thing is the down mass evaluated at one of these. So I'm still working in just a fake two flavor theory, but the down mass evaluated at this high energy scale. But when it goes through this threshold where it's arbitrary CP violation, of course it could have a phase relevant to its low energy value. And so the contribution up here is to the down mass is misaligned with what I want to cancel the theta angle, right? So there's this misalignment. So what I need is the size of this contribution to be very suppressed compared to the low energy contribution. And this is what you get from, in the standard model of two flavors, QC, of course, runs to weak coupling very rapidly. So the ratio of these two things is basically just what is the instanton suppression at the high energy scale. And if this lambda UV is 100 GeV, then this is already a much larger factor than 10 to the 10 suppression, right? So you become protected very rapidly as you run to weak coupling in these models. So this is the same way in which you're protected in an axion model. Also, you might worry about the same kind of thing in the axion. And this is really what the statement I have an anomalous PQ symmetry says about how I'm protected from things. So this is the thing that we will want to keep when we modify this, right? Is this kind of protection.
Sometimes people phrase it saying like, I'm up equal to zero solution, it's A the prime plays a role
in the
axion. So
you can say is the alignment of the QCD constant. So M up not equal zero means you have an extra source of PQ breaking, which can change the alignment of the, which adds to the A to prime potential, a something that's not aligned with what an axion would want to have. Yeah, you can think of it that way as you like. Okay. The question is then, does this work in the standard model? And what can we do to fix it? Because it won't. How do you answer that? So you can just, you can actually treat this contribution as a running of the, of the up Yukawa coupling from the down Yukawa coupling in the perturbative theory, right? So I can evaluate the running and include higher order effects, so higher leading log effects. And just look, if I cut off, so if I Higgs QCD or just cut off my instanton calculation at a scale where alpha QCD has taken some value, what is the ratio of y up to y down that I generate? And look where I get 0.5. So it looks like for kind of strongish couplings, I can get m up over m down as a factor of a half. So this is why you might have thought it would work in the SAML, is it looks not crazy that this instanton effect is really describing all the breaking in the chiral Lagrangian. But what you should actually do is just look at where is this effect small enough that I can just cut off there the perturbative calculation and then match to a lattice calculation. And then I should really do the whole calculation on the lattice, right? So I want to just know where can I start so that the dominant effect I know is going to come from energies that are in the lattice. And if I look at cutting off at around 2 GeV is where I match my perturbative calculation to my lattice calculation, then I know that effects around here are already suppressed. So instantons above this scale are generating much too small of a contribution to the up mass. So I can just start with m up equals 0 around there and plug that into the lattice and see what happens. And when you do that, you find that it's not consistent with observation. So that's the sense in which the masses up quark solution is ruled out, is you know from lattice correctly includes all of the non-perturbative PQ varying effects. And if you start with m up equals 0 at 2 GeV, you don't get a viable hadron spectrum. OK, so this doesn't work in SAML. And part of the reason it doesn't work in SAML model is because a strange quirk further suppresses this contribution, because you're really in a three-flavor model. But the two-flavor model will be relevant for what we want to do. OK, so what we want to do is, yeah. Yeah, so when you add in other flavors, the instantons get suppressed by the ratio of the mass of that, so strange mass over the instanton scale. Yeah.
So what extent is important here, the one with an instanton? Because kind of Lagrangian coupling suggests that actually it's something like fractional instanton give the dominant contribution, and that would change the action, right? So that in some sense one exponentially sensitive to that. So to what extent is
I guess it does change the question of what scale do I match the QCD at. If you go to 3 GeV, then these effects are very, very suppressed, so it's hard to imagine that it really makes much difference.
And what is there a small scale which one can start with lattice?
So people do lattice at 3 GeV.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, 2 or 3 GeV, I think, are kind of normal scales for. I don't know what the smallest people have gone to, but I think there are 3 GeV. So, yeah, people have extracted light quark masses from 3 GeV lattices. Yeah. Okay, it doesn't work in the standard model, but otherwise it would be a great solution to a strong CP problem doing everything we want. So how can we fix it? And there's a simple way of doing it, which is what we're looking at is a theory where we want to protect ourselves from some arbitrary CP violation at a high scale. So we set m up equals 0 up here, so there's an exact PQ symmetry perturbatively. And assume that the only non-perturbative effects are at this much lower scale, lambda QCD. This is the only scale where they become important. So green is non-perturbative effects important. Red is dangerous CP violation. And if these don't overlap, then I have a solution. And the problem with this normal m up equals 0 solution is it's just not consistent with data because I don't get enough PQ breaking in the end. In the standard model?
Yeah.
I think it's about a factor of 10.
10.
Yeah, 5 or 10. It's a little bit, yeah, so it's very inconsistent with lattice for m up equals 0, but it's, yeah, I'm not actually sure when you get within the error bars, yeah. You're many sigma away from m up equals 0 with the lattice results. But yeah, it's definitely a non-vanishing effect. So actually, you can measure. So this corresponds to these instanton effects can correspond to a second-order term in the chiral Lagrangian. You can actually measure that term on the lattice, so you can see how important this is in QCD itself. Yeah. Okay, good. So what we're going to do is look at a theory where I have another scale, lambda prime QCD, where QCD is embedded in a strongly interacting group again, and PQ, non-perturbative PQ varying effects will be important up here as well. And so I will match to the standard model, but my non-vanishing MUP will be generated at this scale. But it will be generated with just the right phase that it cancels. So the remnant of the PQ symmetry at higher energies is that the MUP I generate at this intermediate scale will have just the right phase to make the theta angle, theta bar vanish. Okay, and then important thing we'll have to do is there, we know these theories do have the CKM angle, and in the theories we'll look at, you actually have to generate this around this scale. So you need to generate it in a way that's still sequestered by the flavor symmetries enough that you don't induce a too large of a non-vanishing value of theta. So it's kind of a two-step process. First, introduce this new scale, and then introduce the physics that generates the CKM angle without feeding too much into theta bar. Okay.
So how high is the
difference opposed to you? So it will turn out to have to be, for flavor, for the model we'll look at, it has to be above 100 TeV or 1,000 TeV, maybe. Yeah. Good. How am I doing on time? Sorry,
don't worry.
Okay. Okay, so there are a few different ways I could embed QCD in a strongly interacting theory at higher energies. Let me tell you one way that won't work is kind of an illustration. So people have thought of this kind of theory before for different things, but for this specific thing of rescuing the masses up quark, this won't work. So what you could imagine is just at some intermediate scale, I'm going to add a bunch of extra colored matter to the standard model. And that will turn around my running and let me start running back to strong coupling. And then at some scale, lambda prime QCD, where I'm at semi-perturbative or strong coupling, I embed in a UV theory that is asymptotically three again. So going down, I start with an SU 3 plus n theory and Higgs it down to QCD at the scale lambda prime right as it's getting strong. And then I put in this extra batter that lets it run back down to weak coupling below this scale. Now when I think about this effect, what's important is that the standard model actually has three generations of matter, so this two-flavor model was not quite right. And I actually, when I look at what are the symmetries violated by the non-perturbative effects, right, it's the PQ symmetry that's violated is the one where everything transforms. So the incitons don't just shoot up the up and the down quark, they shoot out every quark in the theory, right, is kind of the way this is reflected in the inciton calculation. And so to generate an up mass, I don't just need a down Yukawa coupling, I also need to feel the breaking of all the other chiral symmetries of the quarks in the standard model. So I can imagine looping off the Higgs, off the strange and charm and bottom and top loops to generate this Yukawa coupling. But then I'm suppressed by not just this inciton factor, but also all these parameters controlling how large these other chiral symmetry breakings are in the standard model, right? So I'm suppressed by the product of Y bottom, Y strange, Y charm, and Y top for the contribution I'll get to the up mass in this model. So this will always be too small.
But is it correct that in this setup, if I have now axion, it will be much heavier than the
Yeah, so the context in which people have studied this model, so we're trying to generate a renormalizable parameter. So that's why this suppression is small enough to make it these kinds of things not matter. If you think about this in context of an axion, then you're generating an axion mass, which is a relevant parameter, right, in the Lagrangian. So then I'm enhanced by the scale of this. So if this happens at some UV scale, I'm enhanced by that scale squared compared to QCD squared. So you get the same kind of suppression in the axion mass suppressed by the product of your color couplings, but it's enhanced by the ratio of the scale squared over the QCD scale squared compared to low energy.
If you already have this setup, it sounds like much more economical to do a map equal to zero, just add axion, it will be very heavy.
So people have looked at this setup.
Right.
So actually, most of the context people have looked up is you're worried that if the scale overlaps with the CP violating, with a scale where you have unprotected CP violation, so if I, in a SUSY model, it often happens that I'll run back to strong coupling, for instance. Then you worry about destabilizing the axion solution from these extra contributions. So that's mostly, there's a number of papers on this. It's mostly the context people have worried about it in. You can also use it to make the axion heavy. This suppression is pretty, this is actually a fairly large suppression when you're suppressed by all the Yukawa couplings. So you can make the axion heavy using a mechanism like this. I forget. In the end, it's hard to make it Yeah, I forget how heavy you can make it in this model. But yeah, it is a thing you can do. It's not what we'll do. So there's actually a version of this in the model I'll talk about. So I'm talking about the M up equals zero thing because it's something you can't do. In other models where you go to strong coupling, you can only do it in the one I'll talk about. But you can also do heavy axion things that work better in the model I'll talk about. So, or I claim they work better. does that answer your question? Is it? Okay, so this is a thing that can happen. I mean, the other big problem with this type of mechanism is when I run back to strong coupling by adding this extra matter, if I added extra colored fermions, then those suppress the instanton action. So I need to actually add a lot of ingredients. So I need to add new sources of chiral symmetry breaking, so new scalars that break the chiral symmetries for the extra colored fermions I add, or I need to only add scalars, but then I introduce a hierarchy problem for the new colored scalars I've introduced. So this part of adding all this extra colored matter is actually makes it very difficult to make this work. I think this is, it looks kind of minimal, but it's not a very minimal thing to do to get these effects to be large. Yeah. Okay, so we'll take a different approach. So we'll look at a theory at high energies, I have a product gauge group in SU3 cross SU3 cross SU3 gauge group. At this lambda prime QCD, as these gauge groups are running strong, we'll Higgs the theory down to just the standard model, which will be the diagonal of these three gauge groups. And you just match directly to standard model. And when you Higgs, when you Higgs a product gauge group down to the diagonal, right, it always ends up weakly coupled or more weakly coupled than the individual factors. So I can use that to just match directly to the standard model instead of needing an intermediate phase of running back to weak coupling. And what I'll also be able to do is to put each of the families charged under a different site of this model. So each family will be charged under a different SU3 factor. So this is a flavorful part of these instantons so that I don't have these extra Yukawa suppressions in my effects. So of course, what will happen is now I have three theta problems, not one theta problem. So this is actually a three massless quark solution. So the simplest thing I can do is take a massless down, a massless up, massless strange, and massless bottom quark. There are a few variations, right? And now this just looks like the two flavor model we started with, but it's happening at higher energy scales. Okay, there'll be two parts of this. So let me first just be more precise about how to write down this model and really be careful about adding any new CP phases when I'm breaking it down to the diagonal. And then I'll talk about how you introduce the CKM mixing, right? Because now that these are charged under different gauge groups, I'm going to need to add extra physics to generate off-diagonal Yukawa couplings. Okay, so let's start just by making the model a little bit more precise. So right, this looks like a three-site model. I can imagine the simplest thing I can do to break this gauge group, right, is just to Higgs it with bifundamental fields, so the fundamental scalars that are bifundamentals under the gauge groups. So this is the normal, you kind of think this is the normal deconstruction setup. And of course, you can make it more natural and solve scale coincidence problems with all the same tricks that you normally pull, like making the fundamental scalars composites in these kind of deconstructed models. But let's just start the simplest thing, just start with elementary scalars that Higgs the gauge theory down to the diagonal. Right, so I have three sites, one generation on each site, one generation of quarks on each site. I start with y up equals zero, y bottom equals zero, and y strange equals zero. And I just write down a normal Higgs potential to Higgs these gauge groups down. And if I look at actually all the renormalizable interactions I can write down between these gauge fields, I can show that there's no extra sources of CP violation in this potential. Okay, so that's good. And then there's of course a coincidence of scales, right? Is that I've kind of just put in by hand the scale that these particles get a VEV at. And that needs to match kind of the scale where these gauge groups are getting strongly coupled. So that's just a coincidence I'll accept for now. If I want to remove all the Goldstones, it helps to gauge some of the B minus Ls in this theory. Okay, so now I can just look numerically at what I need to get. So I have this calculation from earlier. If I start from a vanishing up type mass, what is the value I generate in a two-flavor model from the down type mass, which works the other way as well. So as a function of the QCD coupling at my IR cutoff, so at the scale where I Higgs the theory. And if I look at the values I need to generate the standard model ratios, then it looks like I need couplings of around somewhere between 0.25 and 0.4 within the uncertainty of this calculation. Right, so that means when I go to the diagonal, I'm getting alpha s that on the lower end could be around 0.1. So this is kind of the value I need to match the standard model at some intermediate scale. But it looks like it might want to be a little bit larger, so like 0.2. If it's 0.1, that's great, you're done. You just match the standard model at this scale, and you've generated your couplings are big enough to generate the ratios you want. If it's not, there are simple things you can do. Just one quick example, I can add another site that doesn't have any light chiral matter and has a similar mechanism for setting theta equals 0, just an extra state that has a PQ symmetry that's violated by the instantons in this extra sector. And this one I can make much more weakly coupled because I don't need to, I can start with a theory that only has one vector-like fermion, for instance. And then there's only the suppression of the instantons in the mass that it gets generated.
Yeah. This seems like you're pretty free to set the couplings of your flavor sectors, the gauge couplings of your sectors, however you want it, you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah, so the thing is that I need to get this, the issue is I need to make the gauge couplings big enough to generate the observed ratios of masses, and 1/2 and 1/10 are big enough that I kind of need alpha of around, like if I look at the central value here, I need alpha around 0.35. or 0.4 to do it. And so if I just look, I can just look at matching a tree level to the coupling I want, and I just don't get to weak enough coupling. So yeah, I can play other tricks. I can include some light colored matter that gives me a little bit of running in between. But yeah, kind of the naive thing is I have to be kind of on the edge of these instanton effects being as large as possible with the uncertainties to match to the right value. So it could happen, but it's not clear. But there are lots of other ways to fix this up. So I don't think it's a big problem. Yeah. OK. All right, so great. So now we have a theory where at some intermediate scale, I've solved the strong CP problem in the sense that I'm protected by the normal PQ mechanism from any CP violation at higher energies. And I've generated the diagonal Yukawa couplings without introducing a tree level theta angle. OK, so I've done exactly half the things I need to do, right? And now I need to introduce the CKM mixing angles, I need to introduce the CKM mixing angles and see how that perturbs things. And in particular, it'll generate a very interesting non-zero value of theta bar in these types of models. So at this point, we have a nice theory where you solve the strong CP problem, but there aren't any low energy effects. So it's not like the axion solution where you have this low energy scalar. It's more like it's more similar to Nelson Bar, where I really decouple any low energy effects of having solved the strong CP problem.
Like you were saying, you can sort of view the mass support thing as the eta prime being like kind of like axion. In these things, is there some strong composite state that is kind of like a heavy axion?
So in this model, you could still think of it as the eta prime is the axion. It's just that the eta prime gets two contributions to this pendulum, right? It gets the QC anomaly from low energies, and it also gets the up quark contribution to its potential. If the M up mass breaks the same PQ symmetry, right? And in this model, those two contributions are aligned with each other. So normally, if I give M up an arbitrary phase, those contributions aren't aligned with each other. So the eta is relaxing, but it's relaxing to somewhere that doesn't cancel. It can't cancel it, the theta angle. But because the up quark contribution and the non-perturbative contribution at low energies are aligned with each other in this model, the eta can relax both at the same time. That's one way to think about it. If you want to think of the eta as an axion, yeah. Eta prime as an axion.
Yeah, I want to be cynical.
Sure.
I may say that, what it does, all this complicated mechanism, essentially, okay, you produce a high scale real Yukawas in some way, like through this SU3 cube or that's right by hand, and then at low energies you just generate CP, which we are going to show us now, and that will, and that's going to.
I'll generate.
Why don't you say work M up equal to zero? So all this thing at the end of the day just produced Yukawas for me. Below that scale, M up is not equal to zero.
Okay. If you believe the strong CP problem is a problem, then this is a story. You need to have a story for this. So I mean,
well,
right.
My story is not saying that it's
like if
CP invariant in UV and CP.
Yeah, but my theory is not CP invariant in UV.
Well, but this one is CP invariant. No?
So right now it's CP invariant, and that's why I've only solved half the problem.
Right.
So now I need to introduce the physics that gives me flavor.
Oh,
and
that's a question.
Sorry,
both,
yeah, so this theory. Yeah, so we'll be protected from CP violation on some high scale,
right.
And CP will be violated everywhere in the UV in this theory. So there's no approximate CP at high energies in this theory. So it's fundamentally different from Nelson Barr in this regard, right? So Nelson Barr is a very similar kind of philosophy, but this is the fundamental difference. Is here we never make any assumption about CP. CP is just an accidental symmetry of part of the Lagrangian at this QCD prime due to the other global symmetries, right? Whereas in Nelson Barr, you assume that you really have a UV that preserves CP exactly, and then I spontaneously break CP, and that's what gives me control over the theory. So it's kind of a fundamentally different thing from Nelson Barr. So there is no assumption about CP being preserved in the UV.
You need to worry also about high-dimensional operators, not like theta terms for this sector, but things like Higgs, F of Du,
So that sets an upper limit. So yeah, if you put these, right, so you have this scale of unsequestered CP violation, you generate higher dimensional operators here. Those will break this accidental symmetry, the accidental CP of low energy theory. So you need some hierarchy in scales between these. A factor of 100 or 1,000 between these two scales is generally enough to suppress it. Right, the same way in the standard model, a factor of 1,000 going to 1,000 TeV for CP violating effects suppresses the electric dipole moment sufficiently, right? But yeah, so that puts an upper, yeah, so you do need this some hierarchy between these sectors. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so where was I? Okay, so, all right, let me introduce the CKM mixing. So what will I need to preserve? So I need to keep these PQ symmetries. So I have three PQ symmetries that let me rotate away to three theta angles. So I need to keep those, because I still need to do that. And then I also need to choose my symmetry structure such that the off-diagonal elements don't contribute to the determinant of the matrix, because this mechanism only tied to theta angle. Let me make the combination of the theta angle and the phase of the diagonal elements of the Yukawa matrices unphysical. But it because I've introduced all this breaking of flavor symmetry, phases that live off the diagonal are physical things, and I can't make them unphysical with this PQ symmetry. So what I need is a PQ symmetry, or actually I can, but the way that I do that is to have a PQ symmetry that guarantees that these off-diagonal elements don't contribute to the determinant of the matrix. So I need something that kind of looks like a block diagonal matrices. So it's only the diagonal things that are contributing to the determinant in the leading order. Okay, so here is the simplest example of a symmetry that does that, which is I've just extended my PQ symmetries to allow some off-diagonal couplings. So I can choose a anomalous symmetry that gives me, so let me just put the top Yukawa coupling in the up matrix, and then the contribution that generates the charm mass and the Kibibo angle in the up matrix. And then the minimal things I need to put in the down matrix are something to give the down mass, something to generate the 3-1 and 3-2 mixings. And then once I do that, I cannot avoid having one extra entry in this theory. So I'll talk about that in a second. And the phases of this theory can be rotated so they live all in this 3-1 element and in this extra Yukawa coupling that I have. So it turns out that of the parameters, the only thing that's not tied directly to the observed values of CKM matrix in this model is this extra down-type Yukawa. And I can make a Spyrian argument. So if I go a little bit beyond just having these PQ symmetries, I can make a Spyrian argument that this can be much smaller than this element. So I can, to leading order, I can ignore it, and then you can put it back in. It's not an important perturbation. So I'm just going to ignore it for now. Okay. Okay, good. So, and then the important thing to note, right, is that so this flavor suppression, so everywhere the phases enter in are small numbers, right? So I have these small off-diagonal CKM elements and the small Yukawa couplings that are going to suppress the physical effects of these CP bottling phases. Okay. Okay, so okay, now I've introduced a model where, right, so, and I can write, of course, I can write down these operators by using higher dimensional operators in terms of the link fields, right? So I can write down these off-diagonal couplings using these higher dimensional operators. So there's some scale of flavor where these are generated. Let me just first assume that that's above and I'm not going to worry about it. And then I'll give you an example of a completion that does what we want. But yes, for now we can just focus on taking the VEVs and really think about the Ziukawa matrix. Okay, so what I've done so far is write down a theory that at tree level now still preserves everything I want. So it still matches below the scale of Higgsing to the standard model, but now with off-diagonal Yukawa couplings that generate the right CKM structure. So we're almost done. So we have almost everything we want, and now we need to check. I've introduced the CP violation in kind of a controlled way, but I need to check that radiatively, how does it feed in to when I match between the UV theory and the standard model. And kind of the important thing about that is the structure of this matrix, right, is protected by both, is protected by the PQ symmetry. So it's protected by the PQ symmetry in the UV. And in the IR, it's protected by the fact that standard model running of the theta angle is small. So it's only in this threshold regime where PQ violation is important, and I haven't yet matched the standard model. I haven't yet integrated the extra states, where I can get large effects that let me generate a large theta angle. So I need to still feel the extra flavor violation of this having this SU3 cube structure, which goes away below. But I can't go too high because I need the gauge couplings to be strong to feel the PQ violation. So it's really a threshold effect that is generating this non-zero theta bar. But that's, so I should worry about how big that is. Right, and I can, yeah, so kind of looking at it again, so it's the same picture of my up mass receives contributions from a range of energy scales around a threshold. And kind of the toy picture you can have in your head for how this happens is I get an exact cancellation if the value of m down doesn't change. The value of m down that feeds through instanton and m up doesn't change. So it's the same for every instanton, right? Then I get that exact cancellation. But what happens is the phase of m down runs as I go through this threshold. As kind of heuristically, the phase of m down runs. And so that change in phase of m down causes a mismatch between the IR value of m down and the value that fed in through instantons to m up. And so that's where this non-zero theta bar in the IR theory comes from. Diagrammatically, you can look at, so things that are just instanton diagrams are safe, right? So just an instanton violates the PQ but doesn't know anything about CP violations, so that's safe. Just a Yukawa diagram looks just like the diagrams of the standard model, so that's also safe because it doesn't know about, because the standard model is safe out to 7 loops because of the flavor symmetries. So things that are bad are diagrams that feel the extra breaking of the flavor symmetry and the phases in the Yukawa coupling. So kind of diagrams that are like 2-loop diagrams or diagrams where I have an instanton and Yukawa couplings contributing. So this is right the description of this same effect here, is the Yukawa coupling causes m down to change as the instanton turns it into an up mass, right? So these will be the dangerous things. There's nothing protecting me from here. But there actually is something protecting me, right? Because I still have these approximate flavor symmetries. So I've broken the flavor symmetry, but I still have lots of small numbers involved in it. And it turns out that if I kind of look, make an approximation that I can do this analytically, the numbers I get are order 10 to the negative 10 for a theta bar in this model, which is coincidentally right near the current limit. And it's happening because it's suppressed by products of Yukawa couplings and these small mixing angles and then these loop factors. So you're getting this very cute, interesting, probable number. So it's just kind of a fun coincidence that this works out. Though, yeah, it's an interesting question. Right, so other models where this happens, of course, Nelson-Barr models. And it's the same type of approximate flavor symmetries that give you kind of similar. You can write down a Nelson-Barr model where you also get this similar kind of suppression from these flavor symmetries. But it's it's an interesting number. So right now the limit's 10 to the negative 10, but there are two experimental proposals to improve that by a factor of 10 to 100 in the next 5 or 10 years. So there's the spallation neutron source experiment at Oak Ridge that's been proposed, and then there's also a proton storage ring experiment that's been proposed. And both of these can essentially rule out these models. Okay, so now I've done everything. And let me just address one possible complaint, which is that I just use these higher dimensional operators to generate my off-diagonal Yukawa couplings. And you might worry I hid something in there, that there are other non-decoupling effects I should worry about. You can write down a simple flavor computation where I introduce vector-like quirks at these sites to let me write down renormalizable mixings between the sites. And this will generate the structure I need and can explain all that without introducing any new phases. So I won't go into detail of that. Just one interesting thing is that if I make these guys light, I can get a little bit more suppression in the CP angle. So if I make the vector-like quirks actually end up lighter than the scale of the Higgsing, then I can get a little bit of vector suppression, but not a parametrically larger amount.
Yeah. What did happen to the extra CP pilot interfaces in the other flavor samples?
So I have this phase that generates the CKM angle.
Yeah.
At tree level, though, if I just look at matching from the UV theory to the standard model, then I just get this Yukawa matrix, and this generates a CKM angle. But if you evaluate the determinant of this matrix, this term doesn't appear. So at tree level, the PQ symmetries have protected this from appearing. And it's only when I evaluate these kind of instanton plus Yukawa loop contributions and match to the UV that I rotate the phases of some of these diagonal elements, and I generate some more off-diagonal elements. And those are what feed this phase into the theta angle, into the determinant of this matrix. So that's how they're sequestered. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, so I already compared this. So it's very similar to Nelson-Barr in this spirit of I have only one threshold regime where I solve theta equals zero at tree level, and then at loop level I feel the CKM angle coming back in, and so I have to have that under control. But in the UV, the philosophy is quite different from Nelson-Barr. So it's and the details of the model you write down at the intermediate scale, of course, a little different as well. But this is why you get similar kinds of predictions for these models in Nelson-Barr. You can do an alternative hierarchy. Sorry, I showed you the simplest thing. I can do a different model where I generate all the light quirk Yukawas, so y down and y up from the other Yukawas. This has kind of a naturally larger value for theta bar, but it might be appealing from flavor arguments. You can make this just barely consistent if you pull some more tricks. So it's kind of interesting is it's really hard to make this theta bar be smaller than maybe 10 to the negative 11 in any of these models. Okay, so let me just summarize what we did then. So started with MRP equals zero solution, great solution to the strong CP problem, exact same status as any PQ solution to strong CP problem. So from the UV string theory story or whatever, similar to what you worry about with the axion. We didn't resolve any of those UV worries the same way they're not resolved for the axion. But we did rescue it from the fact that it just doesn't work in the standard model. So it works in protecting you from unsequestered CP violation as long as the quality of the PQ symmetry is good and only broken non-perturbatively. But just lattice tells you M up equals zero is not consistent in the standard model. What we did is just add another sector another scale at which QCD non-perturbative effects become important again by embedding QCD in a larger gauge group. And this lets you kind of rescue this property of the M up equals zero solution, that you're protected from higher energies, but be consistent because at lower energies, you just match to the standard model with a non-vanishing up mass that is just aligned in just the right way to cancel theta bar. And of course, the scale this happened, there's a connection to the hierarchy problem I didn't talk about. That hierarchy problem, you almost always introduce new colored fermions. And so if you want to solve the standard model hierarchy problem, then this sector needs to live around the same scale that you solve the standard model hierarchy problem at. If you push it too high, then you have new colored fermions that suppress all the instanton effects you want to use. So there's an interesting pressure. This scale likes to be low, but then flavor, so I generate these four fermion interactions from the instantons. I have these new flavor directions. And that tells me I need to live around above 100 keV or so for this intermediate scale. So really kind of the only invariant prediction of this is that theta bar order 10 to negative 10, 10 to negative 11 is generated in these models. But all the other effects decouple. So you could just, you can compare this to others. So people, this is kind of an industry in the last little bit of writing down similar ideas where I'm using PQ solutions to the strong CP problem by introducing new scales at which non-perturbative effects become important. So right, there's all this early work on running back to strong coupling that I talked about earlier. There's also been some early work, but then also more recent work on models where QCD is embedded in a gauge group with another gauge factor at some high scale. So I have an SU3 plus N, or maybe just an SU3 cross SU3 cross Z2, which at some low scale becomes a, so here the theta angles are connected between the SU3 factor and the rest of the gauge group. And then you break it, or break the Z2 at some intermediate energy. So you have a Stenner model and a mirror sector with connected theta angles. And you assume the Z2 breaking is in such a way that this QCD prime scale is higher than the QCD scale. But if you connect the axion to both these sectors, you can get aligned contributions from either sector. So this is kind of a similar spirit as well. These kind of have some problems with, you introduce all this light mirror sector stuff, and you also, if you just do the Z2 version, it's not totally clear what the status of the Z2 symmetry is. There's been recent work on all of that. And then what we've done is kind of, just from the UV point of view, is quite different from either of these pictures. And the big difference is we've just embedded it in this product gauge group, which has kind of these two nice features of you don't need any assumptions about symmetries relating these gauge groups to each other. So you can remove the theta angles independently in each gauge group. And you don't need to add any extra states below the scale of Higgsing. So there isn't a light mirror sector, and there aren't extra colored states being added to the standard model. So you really decouple everything in these models while getting the same kind of effects. So in particular, this model is the only one that can really rescue the MUP equals zero solution. There is kind of a similar idea in this model, and it just doesn't work in this one. And of course, you could tell the story I just told, but make a heavy axion in this model, but there's not time for that, so I won't tell that story. if you do tell the heavy axion story, this is kind of an improvement because if you make the axion heavier, the quality of the PQ symmetry you need is reduced. So if you're worried about Planck suppressed operator, making the axion heavier is helpful. So that's another interesting thing you can do. Thank you for listening, and I'm done.
So you said the only model invariant statement was that theta was close to being detectable?
Yes.
Is there any other
So if I add extra SU3 factors to make the gauge coupling weak, then I can get light colored states coming from those sectors. So if their mass is only generated, if their mass is only generated through the instantons in that extra sector, and I make that coupling pretty weak, then I can get a large hierarchy between the Higgs scale and the scale of the mass of that extra colored state. Otherwise, there aren't really any. There's not a whole lot of connection to low scales. I mean, if you embed this in a solution hierarchy problem, like I said, then that wants you to have the scale be lower. But the problem is flavor is pushing you up to 100 or 1,000 TeV.
So will you see flavor observable?
If you believe it's sitting at 1,000 TeV, then you can contribute to flavor observables. Yeah.
This question of detectability and flavor observables. One very interesting thing you showed is that if you just calculate corrections to flavor induced M equals zero from the standard model itself, you know, mm-hmm. 10 to minus 10. But does that mean that this whole setup, in a sense, is just giving an explicit model for how you would break it, but really there are breaking effects in the standard model already that I didn't take into account as creating I'm not equal to zero because zero at a high scale. Or in other words, from a more like effective or just like dumb low standpoint, are you skipping an explicit flavor model for something that I know must show up to a certain degree?
Yeah. In the standard model, the problem is just say factor of like 10 to the M up you get in just the standard model is like a factor of. From energies above the QC scale, if I start at 10 GeV, right, then it's an enormous factor, too small. And even around the QC scale, it's a factor of 10 or 100, too small. So, or more like 5 to 10, I guess, like QC scale. Right, so it's not true effects at the QC scale do generate M up without me adding anything to the standard model. So even if I start with M up is renormalized by this effect, by instanton effects around the QCD scale. But it's too small to start with M up equals zero.
Yeah.
Is that the
measured value?
Yeah.
So you're saying no, I can't just do the standard model.
You have to add M up
to get it. And actually have M up equals zero solution.
So the question, so people worked, of course, in the same way people try to write down string models where you have a accidental PQ symmetry. Right, people have also tried to write a PQ symmetry protecting an axion. People have done the same thing for protecting M up equals zero. But it's an orthogonal question, kind of, the status of the PQ symmetry in the UV.
Any other questions? If not, then thank you, Carly.